Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Marnie's Friends, the online training show where experts share insights into aspects of life and leadership that take you from surviving to thriving ASAP. Right now, you are about to discover practical, doable success strategies to shorten your learning curve, increase your productivity, and skyrocket your delight in life. Be sure to thank today's guests by sharing this program via your favorite social media outlets and swing by Marnie.com and give me a shout out too. Now let's get going with today's episode of Marnie's Friends. Welcome. This is Marnie Fredberg. We've been having a little technical difficulty. I'm going to just check in with our guest today. Rhonda, are you here?
I'm here. Thank you for having
Excellent.
Me.
Excellent. You bet. Well, Ashley, for the sake of our archive listeners, we are going to start over. We'll clip this little malfunction here off the front end, and we're going to get going from the beginning. If you guys want to be patient with us for just another 40 seconds, we'll get the show on the road. Thank you so much. Welcome to Marnie's Friends, the online training show where experts share insights into aspects of life and leadership that take you from surviving to thriving ASAP. Right now, you are about to discover practical, doable success strategies to shorten your learning curve, increase your productivity, and skyrocket your delight in life. Be sure to thank today's guests by sharing this program via your favorite social media outlets and swing by Marnie.com and give me a shout out too. Now let's get going with today's episode of Marnie's Friends. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Fredberg. Welcome to you. It's so exciting to have you with us this afternoon, along with our wonderful guest, Rhonda de la Morinair. And we're going to be talking today about the secret to being unstoppable, how to replace guilt and shame with freedom and power. During the next hour, you're going to want to grab some kind of a notepad because you're going to discover God's greatest invitation to know His glory, the two biggest traps that we all struggle with and their spiritual opposites, how to give shame a name and send it packing, how to recognize the guilt tilt and lean in the other way, what to do with shamers and blamers, and how not to become one yourself, the number one question you must ask yourself, and it redefines everything, as well as what to do to make your history God's history, His story, and how His story through you can change the world. Our guest today is Rhonda de la Morinair, and she's a Bible teacher, coach, and counselor coming from a background of childhood sexual abuse and abortion. She is the author of Becoming Eve, A Woman's Journey Through Psalm 23, and her website is her name, and you can just go to Marnie's Friends or Blog Talk Radio to find the URL there. Welcome to you, Rhonda. I'm so excited to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we've been looking forward to this time together for a long time, and I'm so,
yes.
First of all, I'm excited about what God has done and is doing in your life, but I'm also excited for you to share some of the things that He has taught you with our listeners today, because you actually come from a background that would, you totally get guilt and shame. You've lived it.
Yeah, I do.
And now you are, on the other side, obviously not perfect, still in progress, but you're starting
right.
in a different place now where you can actually extend your hand to our listeners who are still really stuck there or who know somebody in their life who really is stuck still in guilt and shame, and this can be so helpful. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's funny because when you first start walking with Jesus, you think, oh, I hope He never makes me want to pull that thing out of the closet and deal with it. And
mm-hmm.
and usually that's exactly what He wants to do. And
right.
And it's it's the thing that you thought would be your worst nightmare actually can be turned around and become your greatest blessing whenever you walk with Jesus and you begin to let him show you and reframe that through his light. And it becomes an amazing realization that you would never understand if you did not walk with him through it.
Yeah, so true. It reminds me of the phrase, everything in the light, so Satan has nothing to use against me in the dark.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be talking
exactly.
about today. So let's go ahead and dive right into God's greatest invitation to know his glory. From your perspective, mm-hmm. what is that?
The greatest invitation is basically when we began to see those areas of guilt and shame. A lot of times our first response is to want to hide or to want to hide from people and hide from God. And we see this at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, their very first sin, the very first thing they did was go and hide. And they actually even hid behind a tree, which and they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. And we kind of take after our great-great-great-great-grandparents, and we do the same things. And we want to hide from God when really what he's coming for us is kind of the same question he came for them. And he's saying, where are you? And what he means when he's asking that is, where are you? And a lot of times what he's trying to do is elicit from us, wow, I'm stuck right here in this. And he doesn't want us to hide from it. He wants us to walk into the light and be brave in those moments and give him ownership of that thing that's keeping our hearts from his. And so it's actually an invitation. So when you begin to experience an area of shame or you're wearing some guilt, that's actually your invitation to walk into the light with him and say, this is where I am. This is what I'm experiencing, and I'm not afraid. I'm going to be brave and strong, and I'm going to walk into the light, and I'm going to learn how to give this to you, God.
It really takes a perspective of God that is not the one that many people share. Most I find a lot of people feel like God is really a big, angry monster God instead
yes.
of the very loving, caring,
yeah.
excellent Father God that I have found him to be and know him to be.
Yeah.
And if you do view him as the scary, I'm going to beat you up if you do anything wrong type of a God, no wonder we don't come into the light.
You'd be afraid. And I believe in the church, there's a lot of misinformation and unbelief about the reality of who God really is, that the whole reason he sent Jesus is to take away anything that would hinder us from being able to come to him. And I come from a background of, I've had 3 abortions and I was sexually molested from a very early age. So I have tons of junk in my trunk, if you will. And I have, I've walked through some of my worst nightmares with him, and coming out on the other side, all it's allowed me to do is love him more, see him as greater, mm-hmm. and love myself more, and be able to even love myself. I don't believe I even truly ever loved myself until I allowed Jesus to truly love me, and it's been amazing to really have a relationship with him. And you can't really have a relationship with someone unless you let them see the truth about you. And sometimes I don't think we let anyone really know us until we really let God know us, because he's the only one that truly knows us, all the junk and everything about us. And then once we let him see that truth, then he can, we can accept that truth about ourselves and begin to let other people in as well.
That is so true. And I love how you phrase that, because, you know, it sheds light on why we have a hard time to love ourselves is because we're only trying to put, you know, we're only trying to put our best foot forward. And so really, in a way, it's kind of a deceptive presentation we've got going on there. So even in our most quiet moments, we realize, well, I'm really not being honest with people about who I am. And so I'm a deceiver and I'm not really honest. My integrity isn't all there. I really hate that about myself. And so no matter how hard we try, we keep hitting this bump that is just hard to get past. It's when we are willing to be honest with God that we can begin to love ourselves because he first loved us. We're going to take a real quick break and come back and talk with Rhonda about the two biggest traps that we will all struggle with and their spiritual opposites, as well as how to give shame a name and send it packing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Leaders across America rely on womensevents.info to find the major Christian women's events coming to their area. Womensevents.info is the only online directory of its kind featuring all the upcoming major Christian women's events. You are invited to search for events coming near you or to add your own major Christian women's events. Everything's easy and accessible over at womensevents.info. That's www.womensevents.info.
Welcome back. This is Marty. So happy that you're here with us this afternoon. And we're here with Rhonda Delamorinere. It's a long last name, but you want to check out her website. She's one of our speakers over at womensspeakers.com. So, Rhonda, thanks for being here with us. We're going to talk next about the two biggest traps that we all struggle with and their spiritual opposites. So what is trap number one?
Trap number one has to do with the guilt that especially we as moms can wear, which is, I have not done enough. Mm-hmm. And I think we all can struggle with that from time to time. And Jesus really gave us the solution to that. And it was his last words at the cross when he says, "It is finished." And in truth, if we look in our flesh, none of us have done enough, and we never will. But the good news is that he finished it all, and that he literally ran the race ahead of us and completed the finish line, and we get to walk out of his victory and spend our whole lives getting to discover what that is. And we get to live from his victory, and we get to walk with him and let him lead us through what that victory looks like. And so we can't sit on the sidelines and get worried about, I haven't done enough. When we get our eyes off of him, it's easy to look at our flesh and think that, oh, I'm messing up or I'm falling behind. But when we find ourselves in that guilt trap, we just got to dust ourselves off, set our eyes back on Jesus, and keep going. And that is exactly how we're going to finish our race.
That enough piece is huge. When I started doing, and I've been doing this for a while now, Dr. Caroline Leaf, if you guys don't know about her, you need to look her up online. Leaf is spelled
awesome.
Truly. Isn't she amazing? L-E-A-F. Jesus is amazing through her. She's just done so much brain study, and she just can help so much. So I do her 21-day brain detoxes. And when I started out, I wanted to go directly for, you know, the things in my life that were bothering me the most. But what I found the Holy Spirit prompting me to was to deal first with the factor that I believed that there wasn't enough. And as I went through that first 21-day brain detox, I realized that I believed that I was not enough, that there was not enough, that I couldn't ever have enough, and that I would never be enough. And
yeah,
I had to come to the
shame.
Point. That I had to come
that's
to
the
point
other
where, where I had to come to the point where I realized that God is enough. He is more than enough, and he always gives me enough. So in Christ, it's back to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Christ, there's enough. In fact, today, you guys do this with me. Take your right hand and make a fist and punch and say enough, and then your left hand, make a fist, punch and say enough, and then both hands wide open in a praise move and say more than enough. So enough, enough, more than enough. And that's my active reach for today. So still, months later, I'm still dealing with getting this deep down inside of me that there is always enough. Mm-hmm. And it's true that we experience the guilt of not being or doing enough as long as we believe that it's true. But from God's perspective, right now in this moment, we are and we have enough. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So what's trap number two?
It is, I am not enough, just like what you were saying.
Okay.
And like you, I struggled with that as well. And I actually found myself when I became a Christian and I began to, he called me into ministry and I began to work with women as a teacher. I found myself serving and I didn't realize that I was why I was pouring myself out so much. And a few years ago, I actually had a stroke, and I everything came to a screeching halt. And all I could do literally was, I was in the hospital so much, it was just Jesus and I. And I was so angry, and I didn't understand why this was happening. And I didn't realize that he was actually giving me the gift of showing me that he enjoyed me, even if all I could do was lay there in a hospital bed and just be with him, just be with him and just enjoy him and him enjoy me. And that I was enough. If that's all I could do was just lay there and breathe and let him adore me. And it was it makes me emotional. Like, it's amazing to think that we are enough for him, and he is so in love with us. And and all he really wants to do is love us. Like you mentioned before in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. And some of us just need to sit back and let him love on us a little bit and realize that's where our enough comes from, is when we just let him adore us and saturate us and who he is. And then we can get up and be so much more than we could ever have been before. So,
I like where the psalmist, I think it's in 131, says, I calm and quiet my heart like a small child with its mother is my heart within me. Trust in the Lord. And what happens is then when we are prideful, and we usually don't see it as pride or call it pride, but when we are prideful, what happens is that's a really lot of pressure on us to solve the problem of everybody in the world and our own and everything else. And when we become humble and quiet at the feet of Jesus, it is an amazing place of rest and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And we realize that just like a mother with a little baby is really not feeding the baby, nursing the baby, changing the baby, caring for the baby because of all that the baby's giving her back. She's doing it because of her intense love for the baby. And that's how God is with us all the time. We are his little teeny babies. We are his little children. And it's true that as we mature in Christ, he expects more faith out of us, but he still is just looking for relationship. That's really what he's bent on. I just love this, Rhonda. You're just so clear about helping us to see this. And you actually want us to learn how to give shame a name. How do we do that?
Shame it can be elusive. I know when I first started walking with the Lord, I really, if you would have asked me if my abortions bothered me, I would have said, no, Jesus has forgiven me. That doesn't bother me. My sexual abuse, I had been a counselor, so I went through some counseling for that. And I would have thought, that was done and over with, but I didn't realize there were parts of my spirit that were still hindered by both of those things. And only later on through my walk with him was he going to reveal those at the proper time when I was ready for that. So shame can be elusive, so we can't always put our finger on where it is. But the beautiful thing about the Lord is when he comes into our lives, we began to go on a journey with him, just like a sheep with a shepherd, and he begins to reveal to us, almost like stops along the way, and we will discover areas where maybe of hidden shame that we may not have even known about. Something, it may not be as traumatic as my stuff was, but things in our lives that may come back and haunt us. And like David said, search me and know me and find if there's any grievous way in me and lead me into the way of everlasting. And God does that through our whole journey with him. And so the way that we kind of give it a name is there's a prayer that I prayed over, and I still pray it every day, is show me the truth about myself, Lord, and show me the truth about you, and help your truth overcome my truth. And so sometimes he does. We have to first trust that he is going to show us the truth about that area of shame in our lives. And when he does show us, we have to give it to him, because our lives and who we are belongs to him. And so everything that he shows us, we have to then turn over to him. And then when we turn it over to him, he begins to transform it into something that is no longer going to bring us shame, because shame has no place in us anymore now that we belong to Jesus.
So when you say give shame a name, do you actually literally name it?
I it's good to name it, to give it a name. Like, for instance, whenever about the abortions, I could not say the name abortion. For me, I had, and it, that word had power over me. So for me, mm-hmm. that I had to be able to call it out. Jesus says that the truth will set you free. So some of us do need to acknowledge some truth in our past, that we may say, we may put the Band-Aid of forgiveness over it. God's forgiven me for that, that we call it that, but we won't actually name it. But no, he wants you to acknowledge that if it's something that's really hindering you or something that you can't even, if you can't even say what it is you did, chances are it's an area of shame that you have, you need to acknowledge before him. And so, for me, I my shame, I guess, was so deep and hidden with my abortion that I didn't even remember I had one of the abortions. I had totally buried it. And he brought that up to my memory so that I could remember it. And I definitely had to lay that at his feet, because until we acknowledge it with him, we cannot lay it at the cross. So we have to really be willing to acknowledge our sin and lay it so that we can lay it at the cross. And only then is he able to transform it and take it and make it part of his story and part of the relationship and the intimacy between us, as we begin to know that he can be entrusted with even the deepest parts of our hearts. So it's an act of trust to him when we lay those things before him and we're willing to name them. So I do believe it's important to name them.
So what did you do? You were in the early stages of your healing. You couldn't say the word abortion because it was too hard. So how did you how did it come about that you actually were able to move from that point of not being able to say it to being able to now just speak freely about it? You know, I mean, that's a huge transformation.
It was a huge, and it could not have happened without him, but it's funny the way God works. I was teaching Bible study with one of my dear friends, and she was pregnant. And I, for some reason, I became very attached to this baby that was in her womb. And his name was Benjamin. And anyway, she ended up losing that pregnancy. And about 5 months in, and I was devastated. I was so upset. So that was the beginning of what God was getting ready to do. And it was around that time that there was a song that came out that was called Beautiful Things. And it was part of the lyrics is, he makes beautiful things out of dust. He makes beautiful things out of us. And one day in worship at church, he was just asking permission, like, do you think I can make something beautiful out of your babies? And I was shocked. I was like, I don't think you can, but if you want to, this was just after my friend had lost her baby, and my heart was still kind of shaken by that. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's asking permission for this, and I can't help but say yes. And then from that moment on, everything just began to happen. I was asked to go to a dinner, which I didn't know was a pregnancy dinner, and there was a speaker there. And then and then I went to abortion recovery after that. And it, so it just, and then since then I've been leading abortion recovery groups, and it's been a beautiful experience. So
that's just so awesome and amazing. And it's
God.
Really, it is God. That's right. It is too big to just be a coincidence. I love how when you taught us here to give shame a name, you said, and then send it packing. And, you know, there's just a sense of that where it's like, I sometimes say it like this. When I'm in the process, I say, I don't want to live here anymore. And after I'm healed, I say, I don't live there anymore.
That's right.
You know,
because
you know,
we don't.
Right. And you can send it packing or you can move, whatever you want to do. The goal and the point is that you don't have to stay there for the rest of your life. You don't have to be in that place of shame and sadness for the rest of your life.
Right. And we shouldn't be, because he wants us out of it more than we want out of it sometimes.
Absolutely.
And so he died, he came here to earth to get us out of those places. And I just, he doesn't want us living in those tombs anymore. And if that's not, he came to give us life and life abundantly. And we can't get it if we're staying in these tombs of shame that we've, mm-hmm. some of us have been made into a huge mansion out of.
So, right. I always say he takes our manure and he makes beautiful flower gardens out of it, as long as we'll commit it and trust him with it. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about how to recognize the guilt tilt and lean the other way, as well as what to do with shamers and blamers and how not to become one. We'll be right back.
Find your next speaker at womenspeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring nearly 1,000 Christian women speakers from every state, denomination, and fee range, some near you. It's all available to you 24 hours a day, so you can start your most enjoyable speaker search anytime you have time. Search by location, name, topic, or fee range. Connect directly with the speakers you like using their social media links or the online connection box. It's really that easy. WomenSpeakers.com has been the number one online connection place since 2002. Speaker profiles include a bio, professional headshot photo, a list of topics with descriptions, some references from people who've heard them speak, and so much more. It's all fast, fun, and free to search anytime you have time, day or night. Check it out right now at womenspeakers.com. That's www.womenspeakers.com.
Welcome back. This is Marty, and you've joined us today for How to Be Unstoppable, How to Replace Guilt and Shame with Freedom and Power, and our special guest, Rhonda DeLaMoriner of womenspeakers.com. You spell Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, and you'll find her right away if you go to womenspeakers.com or her own website via blogtalkradio.com. Rhonda, let's go ahead and talk now about the guilt tilt and how it can kind of sometimes sneak up on us. So go ahead and tell us about that.
Yes, the guilt tilt is when I know for me as a mom, this sneaks up on me all the time. And what I have to remember is Proverbs 3:5-6 is my guilt tilt verse. And it's trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So what we have to do when we feel that tilt towards guilt is to lean back towards God, because what's usually happening is what we want. Our first instinct is to try to act and to try to do the thing that makes us feel not guilty, or to start trying to compensate it in our flesh. But what God is telling us to do is, hey, don't worry about compensating. Just lean back here on me. Lean on me. Lean back towards me, and I'm going to give you the strength to overcome. Get your eyes set back on me. Get back in alignment with me. I'm going to help you get back on track. He wants us to acknowledge him because he's the only one that knows how to get back on that path that is straight and where we're not going to have to feel guilty anymore. And so when we're starting to feel guilty, it's usually an indicator that we're beginning to lean on our own understanding again. And that's not right. Where we want to be.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. When we start to have some kind of a sense that it's too hard. That's where I sometimes can get like, life is just too hard. This is just too hard. And I recognize mm-hmm. that either I'm expecting too much from myself, or I'm trying to take over being God, or there's something, you know, there's something there that's misaligned. And as, you know, it's like Peter walking on the water, and as long as his eyes were on Jesus, and
Jesus,
he knew that the reason he was walking on water was because of Jesus, he was fine. But as soon as he got his eyes off Jesus, it became too hard and he started to drown right away. That's how life is. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not just life, it's really how God intended.
Yeah, and a lot of us, if we're like Peter, or in our, and if we could use that same example, we would start feeling guilty that we were drowning. And instead of looking back at him and reaching up to him and getting back up.
Absolutely. In fact, right before break, we were talking about how Jesus died on the cross for our freedom. And I knew that at that moment, some of you listeners were experiencing guilt because you hadn't come all the way into freedom yet. It's like, no. Of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, you weren't even born yet. We weren't even born yet. We had never even sinned. We hadn't ever even gotten to any bondages yet. We hadn't even ever done anything wrong, and he forgave us way back then. And the moment we did it wrong, we were still forgiven. And now during the process of healing, we're still forgiven. So it's a process, and we have to just rest in the reality that, yeah, he died on the cross to free us, but that doesn't mean we were freed from the moment he died on the cross, because we weren't even born then. We're
right,
freed.
Exactly.
We're freed in a process type thing that forces us into, it's kind of like
relationship.
You know, it's kind of like a funnel forcing the liquid down closer and closer and closer into that tight space that it has to go through at the end. It's that's
right.
What God's always doing with the circumstances of our life, with our wounds and our failures and our bondages. He's drawing us into this closer, closer, warm, tight, dependent relationship on him. And it's all
mm-hmm.
for good. From his perspective, it's all good, which is crazy because from our perspective, it feels so bad.
It's terrifying because our flesh does not want to die, and it does not die easily.
Right, and we also have a tendency to believe that we've now done so much wrong. You know, I lived here, Rhonda, I can't even tell you how many years. I'm into my mid-30s for sure. I really lived all the time thinking that pretty soon I would, you know, like run out of grace. Like I would do
yeah.
something so, you know, one more thing. Or five
mm-hmm.
more things, and the grace was going to expire for me, and I was going to be shut
right.
for the rest of my life, you know. And I remember I had a real good girlfriend named Nancy, and I would say things to her like, I can't believe God still uses me after I did blank, whatever. And she would say, you know, you don't deserve it. You never did. And it would
exactly.
irritate me. Every time she said it, I would be so irritated, like, why do you keep saying that to me? But then finally,
mm-hmm.
finally, grace got to my heart, and I realized, right, it was never, ever about my performance, ever, good or bad.
Right, never. It was all about yeah. that it is finished and
yeah.
His performance. And he really just wants the freedom of having a relationship with us.
He does. He wants to just
mm-hmm.
live through our lives and just to
mm-hmm.
have us be in this place of peace with him. Or we can just
mm-hmm.
get out of the way and let him use us, which is
exactly
such joy. Because whenever he's using us, he's not only flowing stuff through us to other people who need it, he's flowing it to us first, which is this great joy and delight of walking with Jesus.
Exactly.
Let's talk for a few minutes about shamers and blamers, because
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that this is an actually legitimate reason why we are not more forthcoming in church.
Oh, yes, definitely.
About our past, because actually, even in the church, we've got
oh,
a lot
yeah.
of people who are
they
not.
Were, I was scared of the shamers and blamers for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did not grow up in church, and so I was terrified of them until I came in to discover that some people are not shamers and blamers in the church.
right.
But,
and I think the one thing I want to say before we go into more detail about shamers and blamers is, for those of you
mm-hmm.
listening who have very raw, gaping wounds in your life where you have realized that something you have done was a sin and was hurtful to God and did maybe not even only cause you pain, but cause other people pain or could. And you're right now feeling really scared to talk to anybody about
mm-hmm.
this. I just want to tell you that it's probably not wise for you to stand up in a church setting and confess that. What would be better would be for you to find a trusted soul, find someone
mm-hmm.
you can trust, and confess it first privately with someone you can trust, someone who, when you look at their life, when you look at her life, you see Jesus. That's what you see.
And you feel, you see faith.
You see faith,
yeah.
right. And love,
yeah.
actually the love of Christ, which never
yeah.
gives up on anybody. So, okay,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about, first of all, shamers and blamers. So what was the first thing you wanted to tell us?
The first thing is that, kind of with follow along with what you said, the worst shamer and blamer that we have is ourselves. That we will tend to take something that someone said and magnify it and multiply it to where maybe even if we misconstrue something someone said, we could make it so big that it could be almost insurmountable. That's how I viewed Christians, really. It kept me out of the church until I was 30. I was so scared of Christians because I was so scared of condemnation. And so, but the shamers and blamers, the way what we do and how we handle them is we really don't, because they're not really our responsibility. And this is so hard because we want to. We want to respond, and we even want to have a right to feel something. But what we do is, and I have to literally do this sometimes, I have to literally picture the lap of Jesus and me putting that person on his lap and saying, I entrust this person and what they said and what they did into you, Lord, because I can't handle this. And it's really, it's the hardest thing and the most beautiful thing about walking mm-hmm. with Jesus is our lives really do belong to him. He is Lord over them. And so everything pertaining to us belongs to him. And so with the shamers and the blamers, we just entrust them to him and everything that they say to him. And so one way that, you know, you can do that is to literally place them in his lap. And then another way, there's a scripture that I think I had this scripture taped to my forehead for the first few years I was walking with him. And it's Romans 8:1 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And basically I filter my thoughts through that scripture. And I ask myself, if what they said, is there, first of all, is there any truth to it? Because sometimes, I know if it's a shame or a blame, sometimes we, if there's not any truth to it, if it's just something to condemn us, then we're able to just place that into the lap of Jesus and let him deal with it. Sometimes if it's someone that's in a close relationship with us and they're continually doing this, then we have to maybe ask ourselves, what is this pattern here? What is happening? And sometimes God will even allow people into our lives to elicit things in us so that we can bring those things to him. Just like we talked about in the very beginning, how he wants us to bring things to him so that he can take them. And so I noticed early on in my walk that he would allow certain types of people to come back up into my life that, and I couldn't understand, like, why are these type of people? Why do I keep meeting these type of people? And then I realized he was trying to break patterns. And so he was trying to almost like test me. Can you get up and start walking in what I've been trying to teach you? And so sometimes he's trying to do that in our lives, and we have to allow him to be God over those situations. And so another thing is that two other things that I do is I replace examination with expectation. And so whenever there's a thing that I do, and I don't know if other women do this, but I tend to overthink things. Like if someone said something, I'll start to examine it and pick it apart and try and think, why would they say that? Or why would they, you know, where is this coming from? And instead of just turning it over to God and say, God, I know you're going to find, you're doing something good here, and I'm just going to look for the good that you're doing here in the midst of this and turning it over to him, and becoming childlike about it almost. And because we get to stay children in his kingdom, and we get to have a beautiful expectancy about the good things that God's doing in the midst of our lives. And anyway, it's so easy to be, when we feel attacked or we feel like we're being blamed or shamed about something, it's so easy to want to get into the driver's seat and start trying to take control. And so sometimes God's like testing us with that and saying, are you going to let me be in control and be God of this? Or are you going to step back into this flesh and deal with this? And so we have to kind of guard our hearts from that propensity. And so
absolutely.
The last
yeah.
part, yeah.
Go ahead.
The other little thing that I do is I have like this little acronym, ARK, the ARK, which was with the, they used to carry the old covenant in. And I have it in two ways, arrogant, rebellious knowledge, which is what you don't want, and then absolute righteous knowledge. And so, I always try to picture like, okay, I need to keep my mind in the right arc, in the absolute righteous knowledge of God, not in my arrogant, rebellious knowledge, which is when I put myself in that driver's seat and I start to examine things from my point of view instead of God's, then I know that I'm in the wrong arc, if that makes any sense.
Oh, man, that's terrific. Yeah, I love it, love it. And there's always these two sides. To everything, there are two sides. As long as we're on earth, there will always be two sides. So I think that one of the things that, and then we're going to go into just real quickly here how to not become a shamer and blamer. But before we do, there's a principle that it takes one to know one.
Exactly.
If you're experiencing a ton of shame and blame that you're not being able to overcome, it's probably because you are actually engaging in a lot of shame and blame, either onto your own self or that plus onto others. So how do we not become one, or how do we stop becoming a shame or blamer?
Stop becoming one by dealing with our shame. And I've noticed, like you said, that we are one because we became one. And I was, whenever I was in that place where I was terrified of people, I had become so enmeshed in my shame that I tried not to make eye contact with people. It was horrible. And I was just very insecure. And so I would not talk to people. And when I did, it was almost like before I was walking with Jesus, my conversations, and I see this happening in the world today, they almost conversations revolve around shaming and blaming of people when you get into certain topics. And it's almost like you don't have anything to talk about in the world if it's not about those things. But when you walk with Jesus, it's such a different life. It's such a life that involves freedom. So how you keep yourself from becoming one is basically to deal with your own stuff. And when you deal with it, you can walk in compassion. And compassion is if you see someone that maybe even someone that is shaming or blaming you, it's amazing when your heart is free how you're able to have the freedom to respond to that in a whole different light than maybe you would have before you had the freedom to respond to that, where you're
absolutely. And you know, it's just so crazy that we have this privilege of walking with Jesus and of letting him heal us out of those things that maybe we didn't even know we were stuck in before. Well, this is Marnie Swetberg. We're visiting today with Rhonda Delamorinier. That's a great last name, but it is a little hard to say, about stopping blame and shame and becoming unstoppable ourselves. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about the number one question you must ask yourself and why it redefines everything, and then what to do to make your story his story. We'll be right back. Minutes with Marnie is my per-minute coaching service. Whenever you feel stuck, have an idea you want to run by me, need to pick my brain, or would like me to edit your one-pager media pitch, just schedule a 15 to 60-minute session using the Easy Calendar tool at marnie.com. I'm so grateful that you're here with us today, and I hope to connect with you one-on-one soon. Visit marnie.com, that's marnie.com, to schedule your coaching session right now. Welcome back. You're joining us for The Secret to Being Unstoppable with our guest, Rhonda Delamorinier. Rhonda, let's go ahead and dive in right now to the number one question you must ask yourself and why it will redefine everything. What's the question?
The question is, whose are you? Because if you belong to God, then everything about your life falls in alignment with his authority over your life. But if you belong to yourself, then you get to be the boss of your life. And this comes from Isaiah 43:1, where it says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So if we are his, we get to be redeemed. We get to not fear. We get to know that we are completely his and that everything he said about us is true. But if we belong to ourselves, then we are stuck with the consequences of belonging to ourselves. And so I know for me, I want to belong to him. And so many things become clear when I ask myself that question.
I was thinking about that, because when we know that we belong to Christ, then that just shifts everything. That just shifts,
right,
it
exactly.
Shifts the whole foundation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." And so so many things become simple when you realize my purpose is really just to glorify God in my body. And it can sometimes think about overwhelming, like, oh gosh, how do I do that? But really, he's the one that even knows how to do that. Like yes. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like he's the one who is in complete control. And I believe it was Adrian Rogers who said, if he is on the throne, I am on the cross. And if we're on the cross, we're completely powerless. Like we can do nothing. But if I am on the throne, he is on the cross. So who do you want on the throne? You want yourself on the throne, who is powerless and can do nothing and doesn't really know a whole lot? Or do you want Christ on the throne of your life and of your heart, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and omniscient? And that's who I want to keep to stay on the throne of my life.
Beautiful. When I do programs, a lot of times I have people draw a wheel, like a tire wheel or a spoke of a bicycle, like that, and divide it into 8 sections. And we label around the outside the different sections of our lives, you know, like family and work and money and health and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle, I have them write down their God. And I even do this in secular settings. I have write down who's the God of your life, because that's the center, that's the core. And everybody has one. So for some of us in the room, maybe it's God. For somebody, maybe it's Buddha. For somebody, maybe it's money. For somebody, maybe it's yourself. Whatever your God is, write it in the middle. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, because I think that until we have to look at it that way and say, you know, what does a person who doesn't have God in their life put in the middle? Now, am I doing that? Because, you know, sometimes we are. Sometimes
we are
in the center, but God's not really in the center. So what is it that we do to make our histories into his history?
We can always remember, like Isaiah 43 said, that he said, you are mine. And he says, and in that scripture, he said that he has redeemed us. And so... he knows our past, and he is the only one who knows how to use our past to bring glory to it. And that is really, really hard, especially like my past, where I've had 3 abortions. I never in a million years thought God could ever bring glory out of that. But he can. He can take what is most ugly and just completely desolate in your life and use it for his glory. And because his idea of beauty is different from ours, he really just wants us and any part of our hearts that we have access to, we're willing to give him access to and let him into, becomes his story. And when we release it to him, it automatically becomes beautiful, because everything bathed in the light of Jesus becomes beautiful. And I will never forget when this started with me. And before he dealt with my abortions, he had me, I went through a few years where I had to go through trauma resolution to deal with my sexual abuse as a child. And I remember having, when I started walking with Jesus, I began to have kind of some flashbacks of that abuse and when it happened. And I would see this little girl in a dirty bathroom and trying to crawl into the laundry hamper. And that's where my abuse happened, in that bathroom. And and he would say, will you let me love this little girl? I hadn't realized that I didn't even feel connected to that little girl. I had totally forgotten what that was. And that whole part of my life I had shoved down so much. And that he had never forgotten her. That's how much he loves us. There's some parts of our hearts that are in so much pushed down that he wants to get, he thinks are beautiful. He's still adoring this little girl that I had shoved down and hidden. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. And that is part of our history, but it won't be part of our history until we release it and let it go to him and let it literally let it become part of his story. And so, anyway, there's no irredeemable part of us that when we let go and let Jesus have it, it becomes, it can't help but become beautiful. And Jesus, we get to stop living to protect ourselves. And when we let our whole lives go to him, we will. And we get, and people get to see what freedom, real freedom, looks like.
A couple times during this program, and just a moment ago, you did it again. You've talked about how God spoke to you. And each time he came with such gentleness, he did not shove a mirror in your face and say, look at what you did, you know, look at what you did. He was never a shamer or blamer.
No, he never was, and he never will be.
No. Who is he always to you, Rhonda?
He is my best friend, and he is the one that I feel safest in the world with, no matter what. And he's my beloved. I don't know how to, he's so many things to me that I can hardly describe, but he is probably the best word I can use to describe him is just the thrill of my life. I just never knew life could be so much fun and thrilling with him. I mean, I always thought a life with Jesus would look boring, but I was really, really mistaken.
Yeah, it's the safe place where we completely are aware that God knows us best but loves us most. You know? It's
exactly.
Like there's nothing he doesn't already know. So it's the completely safest place. And there are still people in our world. And actually, you know, I always say there's nobody in my life that can handle all my junk. Actually, even my bestest, closest friends, they were not built to handle all my junk. But Jesus, now Jesus is fully aware of it. And because he's already died on the cross and risen again, there is no shame or guilt to bring those things to him. It's just called conviction and repentance that when, you know, and it's so different. I don't know, for me, Rhonda, the difference between guilt and shame and conviction is so, so different. Like for me, when guilt and shame is there, I feel this heavy burden, this weight, this longing to hide, to run, to escape.
Right.
Whereas when it is the Holy Spirit's conviction coming on me, I feel this awareness that I'm making my Father sad. And it's just this moment of going, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, it's just such a different place. Is that how it is for
you? Yeah, that's how it is for me. And the other thing about the conviction, when I feel that, there's also there's almost a hope in it, like almost like, okay, I don't want to say excited, but I love when he shows me a truth about myself that I used to be scared of the things that were true about me that I had to show him, but now I'm not afraid of him anymore, so I run to him, and when he shows me something like, ugh, you know, that thing that you did or that thing that you said, where was your heart in that? And I'm like, oh wow, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. And it's like he's bringing you up even while he's not putting us down, but he's showing us the hard truth about ourselves. But he's pulling us up in the midst of it, and it's a beautiful thing. And I guess the thing about God that I wish people knew is that He can get into the tiniest parts, and he already is there. He knows all the little intricate parts of our inside details that no one with skin on is ever, ever, ever going to understand or know. And there's nothing that we have to fear with him, nothing. And And he also knows the big things, the big dreams that we're scared to even tell anyone about, because we're thinking they're going to think, you know, we could never do that or we could never accomplish that. He knows them, and he's our biggest cheerleader, and he's like, go for it. I'm right behind you. So he's so amazing and awesome. I wish, my heart is that for every woman or whoever is out there, that they would not let shame or blame or guilt or anything hinder them from just coming to him. And that's probably the biggest dream I have.
Well, that's awesome. And that's a great way to conclude this program too. I just want to encourage you that if you're listening and you're in progress, you know that you have a major issue in your life and you're working on it and you're working with Jesus on it, but you're not healed, and you already know that. And I've got that in my life right now. I'll just tell you quite honestly, there are these places in my life, and they are places where the enemy and when other people like to come in and shame and blame. But just always remember that there's a big difference between Jesus's conviction and grace and shame and blame. It's not the same thing. And so when you feel condemned, when you feel like there's no hope for you, like you have blown it beyond any chance of being restored, that is not coming from God ever, ever. That's only ever coming from the enemy or someone who does not fully comprehend grace. And actually, the shamers and blamers, this is where we live when we are not fully experiencing God's grace. That's all that's missing.
Exactly.
Because once we experience God's grace, we leave that shaming and blaming behind, because we know that we are a product of grace. So we never
exactly.
Do that to other people.
Exactly.
Oh, this hour has flown by. What a delight you are, my dear. How fun to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to encourage you guys to check out Rhonda's stuff over at her website, which is Rhonda De La Morinere, and that's R-H-O-N-D-A, De-La, D-E-L-A, more M-O-R-I-N-I-E-R-E.com, or go to womenspeakers.com and type in her first name, Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, and you'll find her right away. Have just enjoyed this hour so much. Always enjoy sharing this program with you guys who come live. Thank you so much for being here. For those of you who listen in the archives, thank you for that. And for those of you who host us around the net and the syndicate stations, thank you for that. Can't have a show without listeners and partners, and always so grateful to be able to share life with you. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.